is the Drive-By with Freeway Frank.
Episode 39 of the Drive-By. It's Freeway Frank. Sometimes I record these podcasts during the day. I've recorded a couple in the morning. This one is later at night, coming up to about 10 p.m. recording this one. And I just finished watching, I was watching a podcast, a couple of people that I really enjoy. And sometimes that motivates me, you know? I hear stories about other people who started podcasts years ago. And this particular podcaster said, I was going to quit. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And his agent at the time, because this guy is a comedian. And by the way, I've interviewed this guy on my radio show in the past. His name is Bobby Lee, very funny comedian. And Bobby said, when he started his Tiger Belly podcast, which does very well, by the way, if you ever check the charts, it's always up there, told this other podcaster, he said, you know, I started and I was telling my agent I needed help. I needed help with the podcast and all that. Nobody wanted to help him. He didn't know what the hell he was doing. He and his girlfriend walked into a music store, bought all the equipment. Anyway, and when the agent basically asked him and said, how many people listen to this thing? He was like, I don't know, 50, 100? He was like, what? You get 50 or 100 downloads? That's it? The thing that excited me is I respect Bobby Lee so much, and I've had him on my morning show back in the day. He's such a funny guy, and I thought, wow, he had, that's it? That's all he had? And now he grew it to a point where, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of people who listen to his podcast or watch it. That's the advice I would give somebody too, you know, that was starting anything. And I know a lot of people are into Gary Vee. I check out my Instagram all the time. People are sharing a lot of Gary Vee stuff. And you have to be inspired. You have to be pumped. You have to have other people inspire you and other people motivate you, right? But at the end of the day, you got to motivate yourself and you have to hang in there because it's not easy. And I'm not just talking about podcasting. I'm just talking about in general, right? Because if I had a defeatist attitude, and the reason why I'm saying this, by the way, right at the beginning of this podcast this week is there's so many people now more than ever, especially after the last couple of years and what we've been through, that every day they wake up and they feel defeated. They feel defeated in their career. They feel defeated at work. They feel defeated in everyday life. The circumstances of the last couple of years haven't made things better. That's why I'm mentioning it, is that we all go through this. We really do. We all go through this in our individual careers. I mean, I know doctors, lawyers, I know, it doesn't matter, from artists to business owners to whomever, that go through this on a daily basis. We question ourselves. We question what we do. We try to outline how we're going to get there to be successful, but things don't happen overnight. And if you've had any ounce of success in life, which I'm sure many people have in their careers, we've all succeeded. We've all gone through good and bad. It takes hard work and it takes really hanging in there. And I do understand that a lot of people don't have the ability to keep hanging in there. And I could only speak for my own career and my own business. It's the same thing. I left a lot of people behind because I was so motivated in radio and I was going to do whatever it took for me to make it in the radio business. And that's why I think the success came. Knowing early on that I had to leave my hometown of Montreal in order to make it, I moved across to the West Coast and applied, got jobs and did what I had to do to get better. A business that I still love, by the way. And it's funny how now I'm getting into talking about radio. People ask me that all the time. Somebody asked me today. I was on a walk. And by the way, I'm going to get into walks with your significant other in a second. Okay, I'll get into less serious stuff in a moment. But somebody basically asked me that question. Ran into a couple of people who, in my neighborhood, who listen to the podcast, have seen it on YouTube. A lot of people ask that question, is, are you going to go back into radio? And my wife asked me the same question. And somebody that I'm working closely with in my podcast asked, you know, said the same thing. Hey, you know, Frank, you said a lot of things. You said a lot of things. And there's a lot of people that might not be as welcoming anymore in the industry because of the things you said. And I said, well, what did I really say? I said that I wasn't enamored with the radio business anymore because I found that the industry, the radio industry, was killing radio. They weren't doing anything to move it forward. It was stuck in 1996 or in 2006 or in 2016. It's in the same place. Never have I turned on a radio. Have you lately and heard something so extraordinarily unique? You think to yourself, oh, maybe they're onto something. Here's something unique I've never heard. No, it's the same. It's the same stuff they've always done. And that's why it's a dying medium. And then I say to the person, well, you'd want me back on the radio? And a lot of these people, all of them who have asked me have said, yeah, we miss you. And they say, we miss you. Of course, when they say we, they miss myself and my former co-host because we had a thing, right? We had a thing on the air, of course, not in real life. We had this chemistry. We had something that worked and it was great. And of course, it's not like I've completely put it out of my mind because I still love the medium of radio and what it has given me. I don't want to be part of anything where I'm not able to walk in and be myself. Walk in, turn on a mic and tell my truth or give my thoughts, share my opinions, ask questions. If I can't do that, I'll never work another second in radio again, which has been the case now for 3 years this week. Hence why this is coming up, maybe. All right, so I started talking about podcasting. I got motivated by hearing someone who's doing fantastic at podcasting. And so then, look, that got me into this conversation about radio. And so I'll answer the question. Yes, I would be completely open to doing it again for the right owner, place, station, if the opportunity came and I could be me. Because I think I was always me on the air. It was exactly the person you heard was the person that I am. Like now, there's no bullshit. Now more than ever, it's me. So yeah, I would. And I'm not tired of answering that question. It makes me feel good when people say that. Where else are people going to remember you from? The most successful thing you've done, right? That's what they're going to remember you for. And yes, I miss it. But I am very happy in this, on this platform, in this milieu. And as I said, I hope to keep growing this podcast. And I hope you're with me and I hope you tell your friends. More and more people need to know because most of the time when I meet people, they don't know I have a podcast. Literally in the basement of my home and I'm launching it from the ground up or fresh eggs, literally below the ground up. So, and I'm here for the long haul till I get sick of it or until I'm like, oh, well, fuck this. I'm no longer doing this anymore. I can't or for some reason, I don't have love for it anymore, but I still do. Looking at this microphone, you can't see me right now, but looking at this microphone, speaking into it, makes me happy. It's something that I've always wanted to do from when I was a kid. And so the fact that I'm still doing it is great. So I mentioned I was on a walk when I ran into a couple of people in my neighborhood and they asked that question about radio. I thought to myself, I have to mention this. These are things that men don't like to do. As men, naturally, instinctively, these are not things we come up with on our own. Now, I'm not saying that all men feel this way, and I'm not saying that men, you know, the light bulb doesn't go off after dinner or whenever and go, let's go for a walk. And I know the older you get, walks are an essential part of life. But most millennials, most younger people, they're too busy, like, you know, fucking and doing other things. The last thing on their mind is, oh, we're going to go for a walk. Walking is something you do. To be totally honest, I don't remember, you know, going for a walk ever in my life, unless it was in English Bay in Vancouver, like right by the ocean, which was just phenomenally gorgeous. You know, like when I was in Arizona, I was the one saying, let's go for a walk, because the views were so spectacular. Yeah, you were getting the step count, getting the 10,000 steps or whatever they say is the healthy amount of steps you need on a daily basis. But it's a lot easier when your views, in my opinion, when there's nicer things to look at. So yeah, so things men don't like to do. I go on walks after dinner with my wife because I could tell, this is the way she sets it up. She's like, let's go for a walk. That's how she sets it up. She doesn't even ask me. She's like, do you want to go for a walk? No, it's always like, let's go for a walk. In other words, you lazy old guy. And she's like, oh, he's had two straight nights of ice cream. Let's get this guy so the he doesn't have the pancino, the stomach, walking a bit. So I know her motivation. Right. And she genuinely, of course, cares about me. But my dog couldn't care less. My dog turns 12 today. And, you know, he's the breed is not it's they're not a walking. They like to sprint. They like to run around. And then they like to be couch potatoes for the rest of their time here. Because that's a lot like me. That's why my dog and I, Enzo, we get along. But man, we don't want to go for walks after dinner. But it's a good thing. It's good for digestion. It's good for, as I said, exercise. But men, we don't genuinely like to go on walks, all right? So when we do, it's because we feel almost forced. And then my wife always throws in, if you're not going to come, she doesn't sound anything like this, but I'm going to do the wife voice, the girlfriend voice, right? Because it might annoy them, but it's for effect. If you're not going to come, then I'm going to go on my own. Then it's like, that one kills the ego, right? Because then you're thinking all your neighbors are watching her walk out. She's with the dog. She's by herself. Oh, she's not even going with Frank or her husband. Why? This is the way my mind thinks. So I was like, okay, I got to go now. So she knows. She knows how to get me to walk, right? And that's not the only reason, but it looks like, you know, there she is exercising and taking care of herself. And what's Frank doing? Is he out tonight? Because why hasn't he joined her for the walk? So anyway, things men don't like to do. We don't like to go for walks. Doesn't come naturally. Now, as I said, there's going to be men listening to this go, Frank, I love to go on walks. Okay? I'm going to ask, how old are you? Because as I said, I don't hear about too many 18-year-olds, 25-year-olds, even 30-year-olds making that suggestion out of the blue. Let's go for a walk tonight. It's not something that people in that age group do. They get into their cars, their nice cars, for a coffee or a beer or a drink and go out to see if they can meet somebody, especially if they're single. Now, you know, then it hit me. I don't even want to walk. I'm supposed to play golf tomorrow. I don't even want to walk when I'm playing golf. How bad is that? You know, but then I think to myself, when you have a golf cart, why? I'm so impatient and my golf game is not that great that I immediately after hitting a ball, after driving a ball, I want to hit it again. I'm not one of those guys taking 15 swings, thinking he's on the PGA Tour. You know, I'm not one of those guys. I get to my ball, I hit it within 10 seconds. And maybe I should address the ball better, line it up better, whatever. But no, I'm so focused on hitting it again because I'm so anxious about getting all those mechanics right again that all I'm thinking about as I'm walking to my ball, which is sometimes taking forever when you walk the course, even though, again, it's healthy for you. All I'm thinking about is getting to my ball. And then am I going to find it? Because I kind of hit it a little out. Is it on the fringe? Is it in the woods? So I just want to get to it. Could I just use the golf cart? And the last time, a week ago, I went golfing. I had the wrong pair of shoes on. I decided I was going to put on this new pair of golf shoes. And I got blisters on my back foot, blisters on the top of my foot, complete disaster. So I told a friend of mine who I'm golfing with tomorrow, listen, can we just take a cart? Because I'm literally going to amputate my foot if I continue at this rate. But point being is, I'm not good at waiting. I'm a little impatient. I want to play, and I want to hit that ball as many times as I can in an hour. So if I could take a golf cart, I will. Men, we don't like to walk. It's not something we like to do until we get older. All right. Another thing most men don't like to do. I'm ruining it here for a lot of guys, but I have to be honest. And maybe if you're listening to this as a couple, you'll turn to your boyfriend and go, or maybe the boyfriend will turn to you quicker, or husband, and say, oh, not me. Honey, I love doing that. But another thing men don't like doing is dancing. And I've always said this. It's not something we naturally like to do. Now, do I know some men who love to dance? Yes. Do I know some men who dance very well? I know one specific guy who dances with his wife. They're professional dancers. The guy moves like I've never seen a guy move. And his wife, incredible. And, so some men do like dancing, but it's not something that comes naturally to us. You know, maybe a Latino man I could see a bit more. You know, gay men, maybe. Maybe they like dancing, but men in general, straight men, the reason why we would dance in the first place back in the day and all that when we were is because we, again, single, trying to meet somebody. You're out trying to meet somebody. That's it. That's the only reason why we would be in a club moving. Bodies don't move that way, right? Not everybody looks, most men when they dance, they look mechanical. As I said, unless they're gay or Latino, it's mechanical. It just doesn't seem natural. It's for a reason. So when we hear our wife or girlfriend say, you know, we want to go to a club or a supper club, or we really don't want to be there. Sorry to ruin it for you, but we don't. It's the same thing like watching certain TV shows together. Men and women, we have our tastes. You know, like my wife and I have come together to watch Russian Doll, Stranger Things, Walking Dead back in the day, whole bunch of TV series, whatever. But, you know, I like sports. I like news. I like documentaries. And my wife likes, you know, then we come together, we watch Big Brother. But then outside of that, it just seems like when she's searching and looking for specific shows, like I like gore, I like murder shows, I like, you know, those types of shows. And then my wife is more like, she's into politics, we have great discussions and all that. But then she just wants to chill and relax and sit there and watch Love Island. Like, you know, and then she's like, see, I knew you'd like it. Well, yeah, there's... Have you ever watched Love Island? Like every girl's a 10 on 10. Every girl's a knockout. But now as I get older, I feel like a perv. I'm sitting there next to my wife. I'm trying not to, you know, doom, doom, doom. And it goes into the commercial. Another boob hits you in the face. My wife is laughing and enjoying it. I'm laughing and enjoying it, but for other reasons. But my point is that Love Island, it's not, I don't get any satisfaction. But my wife says, you know, sometimes you just have to unwind. She's had a tough day at work. She doesn't want to think. She goes, you always want to think. You always want to think. My wife doesn't sound anything like that, but you always want to think. She just wants to sit back and enjoy. It's not deep, Love Island, but I get it. I get the appeal, but then some guy's making out with a girl who then is making out with another guy who then chooses another guy and one other one goes home. That's every show, right? It doesn't change. That's the formula. Maybe the setting will change from Vegas to California, or that's pretty much it. But point is, we have so many differences as men and women. The reason why most men do the things we do is because we truly do love you and we're doing it for you. We're doing it for our wives. We don't want to go for a walk. We don't want to go dancing. We don't even want, you know, another thing is like we go to Vegas. Why do guys want to go to Vegas? Guys want to go to Vegas. Most guys, a guy's guy goes to Vegas to gamble. Not to hang out by the pool. not to go watch some show, Cirque du Soleil, this, this, and that. And my wife went to Cirque du Soleil last week. She came back. She was like, oh, my. It was so, like, she was literally having it was, like, the best thing. I have a lot to live up to. I mean, Cirque du Soleil blew her out of the water. She would go to a show. They want to go shopping. You know, $500, $600 dinner for two in Vegas, U.S. No, that doesn't interest us at all. We would rather be gambling that money. Risk, excitement, having some drinks with the boys, betting on sports. That's what we like to do in Las Vegas, all right? So that's why you have noticed more and more women going to Vegas, a girls' trip, more and more guys going to Vegas, guys' trip. There's a reason. We just don't mesh on the Vegas trips together. We just don't. Although my wife and I have had some good times in Vegas, I've had some incredible times with my male friends. It's just a different kind of fun. Something wife or girlfriend will never understand. You can explain it till the cows come home. That's just the way it is. Oh, by the way, so my wife saw Cirque du Soleil last week. Cirque du Soleil, I should say. Cirque du Soleil. And she came home and reminded me of the time. She goes, you should go see it. Yeah, like I'm going to go buy tickets to now go watch Cirque du Soleil with who? My male friend. And we're just, yeah. The last time I went and see Cirque du Soleil, I was in the front row. It was for a radio promotion. And I ended up, I swear this is the truth. Within minutes, my co-host, who was there sitting next to me, and the promotions director, who are both friends of mine, sitting on the other side of me, said that they watched me sleep, okay? And my co-host was literally nudging me and hitting me. And then the promotions director, marketing person, was hitting me on the other side because I kept falling asleep. I was so tired and so couldn't care less about it. Yeah, it was nice. It was exciting. People were flying through the air, whatever the case. Again, it's not my thing. All I'm thinking about when in Vegas is, when I'm in Vegas, what am I going to play next and what's going to bring me that thrill? That's just the way we are, okay? So I fall asleep. This is a true story. Not only do I fall asleep, but then it gets worse. They let me sleep, right? Because it's dark. No one can see me even though I'm in the first row. I'm sure some of the performers saw me sleeping. This is the worst part. I didn't only fall asleep. I was snoring. It was so bad. So bad. I was so bad. Not the show. The show was great. That I was snoring. It was so loud in there that my co-host then told the story on the air when we got back. I was snoring so loud that they were dying of laughter, but they had to wake me up because when it got to some silent moments during the Cirque du Soleil show, you know, like when it gets intense and the music goes down and you hear a little thunder, that my snoring was overriding the show, apparently. That's what they said. I don't know if she just said it for radio effect and to tell the story, but it was extremely funny when she told the story. Before I end this podcast, I wanted to mention something that I've been thinking about for a while. And whether you're listening and you're 20, whether you're listening and you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, whatever, I realized more than ever, I was thinking about this and going back. Remember when you first turned 20? It was a big deal. You didn't have a one in front of your age anymore. You were leaving the teens and hitting the T's and you became 20 from 19. That was a big deal. And then do you remember hitting 30? Or maybe you haven't yet, but when you hit 30, that's a big one. 30, you start to question, am I in the right spot in my life? Am I heading in the right direction? 40 is the same thing. 40 is something that is almost unfathomable and you can't accept. I'm turning 40? That's nuts. 40 years old, me? Like I actually got this old, 40 years old? That's a big one too. That's a big one. And by then, you better be in your career because you're going to be questioning a lot if you're not doing exactly what you were meant to do. But then again, it's never too late. But 40 is a big one. And then 50 is massive. It's half a century. It's your parents' age when you were younger, right? And these are all seismic shifts, like the plates when there's an earthquake. I was thinking these are seismic, huge shifts. And the reason why I've been thinking about this is how my brain works is these are all big shifts in our life when we put so much pressure where we see ourselves at a certain age, what it means to be a certain age, and then we hit it and it's like not necessarily eventful, and then the number's kind of there, but it's not like the number's following you anywhere. You could be as old as your mind believes you are. Those specific times that I mentioned, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, every decade or so, they truly are life-changing moments because you accept it and then you move on, but you accept it, right? You breathe in what you're about to head into. Your 30s, wow. Your 40s, wow. Your 50s, wow. But let's not put so much pressure on ourselves. I've been guilty of it so many times, putting this pressure on myself. Like the last couple of months have been hard and so much pressure, you know? There's got to be more. There's got to be something else for me to do. There's got to be something just as challenging. Something else out there. We're all hungry for that. We're all hungry for some kind of excitement. That's why we go on vacation. We're all hungry for some kind of change, some kind of new chapter. That's why we get married. That's why we fall in love. That's why we have kids. That's why we get pets. I didn't know where I was going with this podcast from the minute I turned on the microphone. This is the reason why I love doing these podcasts. I just feel like I could have this type of conversation. That's what I'm trying to do. Maybe it helps to hear someone else go through something similar. Episode 39 has come and gone. Thank you so much for listening. Please rate the podcast on Spotify, leave a review wherever you're checking it out, on Apple, Podbean, Google, Amazon, TuneIn, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Catch you again next week for two more podcasts coming your way. And I'm working on a whole bunch of new stuff for the fall. Can't wait to share some of the guests who will be joining me. And who knows what road I'll be going down come the fall. I'm just thinking about this one right now, this particular road, this particular podcast, and we're done.
The Drive-By with Freeway Frank.